Mini episode 697 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Unheard Scene, your home for great music interviews of all stripes. Follow them on the web at unheardscene.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 697. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our preview of Better Call Saul episode 2.3, titled Amarillo. Here are the top five developments coming out of episode 2.2. Number five, one Hoboken squat cobbler, please, with extra cheese. This show has a habit of juxtaposing words you'd never expect, like Chicago and sunroof, to disturbing and hilarious effect each and every time. When Mike turned to Jimmy to complete the process of extracting Price from the consequences of his drug dealing, surely he couldn't have imagined Jimmy's exact scenario to be deployed, but he had to be impressed. The bond between Mike and Jimmy continues to grow, even if it's not paved with much personal warmth, as each realizes just how useful the other can be. Jimmy's portrayal to the police of Price as a pervert who sits on pies to satisfy fetishes was very amusing, but the telling of the whole story to Kim came at great personal cost. He had expressed in the season opener that he was ready to be the true version of himself in all his devious glory and to throw off the mask of the ineffectual do-gooder that he'd worn in a previous failed attempt to impress Chuck. We've seen in small ways all along that her professional ethics aren't aligned that well with his, and now she's laid it on the line, telling him to keep his ill-advised stunts to himself. While this rejection isn't as piercing as the one that came from his own flesh and blood, it's another step along the way to Jimmy dying inside and giving way to Saul. He surely won't give up on trying to win over Kim without betraying his real nature, but more and more, we're getting a glimpse of the futility of that hope and why she is never mentioned in the Better Call Saul years. Number four. Early on, it's hard to see how Jimmy's going to come to regard Davis and Maine as a gilded cage. He's making a great early impression thanks to his work with the old folks. He's got a sweet-ass company car that he was able to rub in the face of the nail salon ladies. He's got a chance to buy a nice home. Nobody cares that he flicked that wall switch in violation of company policy. His boss is a gentle hippie played by none other than Ed Begley Jr. He has a lot to lose by not playing by the rules. And while he's seen that he has way more to gain, at least financially, without a crystal ball, he doesn't know that to be true. It was easier to imagine Jimmy throwing his old life away before we saw how nice it could possibly be. You've got to wonder what happens to make Jimmy think that this existence just isn't worth it. Number three. After seeing Jimmy tiptoe to the periphery of Tuco's world in season one, now we've seen Mike go there. Knowing the cleaner from the Breaking Bad years, it never gets old seeing him get underestimated during this prequel, and now even the clever Nacho has found himself having to cut a deal on Mike's terms. Of course, the old guy could have blackmailed Nacho into returning Price's super expensive baseball card collection merely by threatening to expose him to his father, but hearing him drop Tuco's name was a nice touch. Ultimately, this series is functioning not just as an origin story for Saul Goodman, but the entire criminal underground that Walt and Jesse would later encounter in Breaking Bad. All we can say is that we can't wait for Mike and Jimmy to meet Gustavo Fring. Number two. The show is dropping stronger hints that Howard will serve as a fulcrum of sorts between the McGill brothers. It's clear that the real purpose of Howard's visit to Chuck was to inform him of Jimmy's new employment with another large law firm, something that he knew would upset his partner. Being the smooth guy that he is, Howard was quick to say that he neither opposed nor pushed for the move, giving credit to Kim as a way of trying to keep himself out of the matter. While we see now that Howard was never an enemy of Jimmy's, he does share the straight arrow tendencies of Chuck, and he surely would not approve of all of Jimmy's antics if he knew about them. The hostilities between Jimmy and Howard were erased with the exposure of Chuck's duplicity, but as we've said before, Howard continues to loom as somebody who could be put in a position where he feels that he has to oppose Jimmy to what would no doubt be Chuck's contemptible delight. Number one, Chuck's message to Jimmy was loud and clear, "I'm watching you." While Jimmy recovered in that meeting from Chuck's appearance, which was surely intended to be a distraction, He'll have to continue to carry around the ongoing implications. His older brother, who has proclaimed that he fears Jimmy with any kind of legal power will become a chimp with a machine gun, will continue to monitor him, even through his self-imposed primitive surroundings. Santa Fe isn't far enough away to escape the shadow of Chuck McGill. As we know, within no more than 2 to 3 years on the timeline, Jimmy's about to grow a shadow much bigger as the premier outlaw lawyer of the Southwest. The events that occur between that point and where we are now are no doubt shattering to the psyches of both men. Jimmy basically renounces his entire previous existence to become Saul. But what happens as Chuck continues to bear witness to the transformation he fears most, the one he knows will make a mockery of the law? Chuck's fragile psychological existence may not survive the trauma, and there's a good chance that he may not physically as well. We started this series with a loving relationship, at least on the surface, between the McGill brothers. Among other things, this program will chronicle the decimation of their relationship and quite possibly the past lives of both men before it's all over. Thank you for joining us for this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.